morning is taken from Colossians chapter 1, which you'll find on page 1182 of the Pew Bible. Colossians chapter 1, and we're reading verses 1 and 2, and then 15 to 20. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. To the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. And then on verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Now I'm going to hand over to Chris as he comes and brings the word to us this morning.
Good morning. Welcome if you're visiting with us. It's lovely to have you with us. And welcome back if you're back again. We're starting into a new series this morning, thinking about fruitfulness on the front line, fruitfulness where God has placed you. And we're starting off by thinking about the big picture. So trying to understand how God's eternal plan works out in our local setting. As we look into this series, the big picture, we're going to be looking through the letter that Paul wrote to the Colossians. And the two tie together very well, because Paul is laying out the big picture for the Colossians in order to say, this is how you should live it out in Colossae. It's already been noted that the tree has lots of different coloured and different sized fruits. And if you look at the beautiful banner here, you see that reflected. Different in different settings. The fruit that you bear will be a different colour, a different shape to the person sitting next to you. But each of us is called to be fruitful where the Lord's placed us. Where does all this come from? Well, Paul talks to the church in Colossae about Christ. And he centres all of his teaching about what they should do on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this short letter, he mentions the word Christ 26 times, the anointed one of God, 26 times, and the word Lord, 7 times. For Paul, it's crucial to explain what they should be doing in the light of Jesus and what he has already done. Because Jesus is the creator, the sustainer, the ruler, and goal of creation, and the head of the church. Hence, it's Jesus in whom God reconciles all things to himself through his death on the cross. And Paul mentions that spiritual union 13 times. When I first arrived, I spoke about that little phrase. It's over 18 months ago now, so you'll be doing well to remember. But I talked about that little phrase, in Christ. And I said how powerful it is and how often we just skip over it and miss the significance of what Paul's saying. In Christ. We are united with Christ when we're born again and immersed into Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, as symboled by baptism. Everything Paul says in the letter from here on only makes sense if he's writing to those who are in Christ. They are reconciled with God in Christ. they're fellow believers in Jesus as Messiah and have become part of that new creation. And if 2,000 years later you are in Christ, then Paul writes to you, because you too are an active participant in God's mysterious plan of reconciliation. Well, the letter was written in about AD 60. Colossae, the place it was written to, it's just there. If I can find how to point, there we go. Just there, Colossae. This is modern Turkey. Was then called Galicia or Asia Minor. So it had been a really flourishing market town, a key place. But as time had gone on, the town had faded in its glory. The majority of them living there at the time the letter was sent were just ordinary men and women, people who farmed crops and looked after sheep or sold wool and textiles. About a third of them would have been slaves. So that's probably all of you lot there. You're all slaves. Sorry about that. That's the way it is. Probably less than 5% of them would have been able to read or write. So ordinary people, ordinary men and women. And Paul wrote to these people. Not about farming and wool and how to get the best price for their sheep, but about God's mysterious plan for the whole of creation and their part in it, the part that God had for them. He revealed to them the big picture of God's mysterious plan for the whole of creation, and he wrote about God reconciling all things to himself in Christ, not just human beings, but everything in heaven and earth. He then goes on to remind the Colossians that they've individually experienced what this reconciling power in Christ is like, what it is, because they themselves have been through it. They've been reconciled to God through Jesus' death. And he reminds them that they were once alienated from God, his enemies, and yet they have been brought back into right relationship through Jesus' death, made holy in God's sight. So what they've experienced personally is part of what God is doing in the whole of creation. His amazing overarching plan for everything. And this is what Paul calls the gospel. All of that, all of God's reconciling plan, this is what he calls the gospel. So he describes that gospel like a plant, and that's where our symbol comes from. A plant which grows and bears wonderful world-transforming fruit wherever it is planted. This fruit arises from the work of the Holy Spirit within the believers and within creation, as each part responds to God's plan right where they are. So Paul is inviting illiterate farmers and ordinary working folk to understand the wonderful plan of God and to recognize that they're not just mere spectators standing back in awe of what God's doing, but are active participants in it. So they're part of God's plan to reconcile all things to himself by making peace on the cross. So God's plan has been revealed to ordinary people in Colossae. God's reconciling work was experienced by ordinary people. And God called ordinary people to become part of his plan. The one through all this is done, of course, is Jesus Christ. It's great the way that our songs focused us on Jesus this morning and knowing him and knowing about Jesus. Because it is in and through Jesus that these things are brought together by God. The person through whom God did this, Jesus Christ, isn't just a sacrificial human being. No, he is God himself, the creator and sustainer of the universe. And he has taken a personal interest in each one of the Colossian Christians and each of you. Although they'd been enemies on account of their evil behavior, yet he was interested in them. And they've experienced what God has planned for all of creation and brought into that plan of the Spirit. In his second letter to the Corinthians, Paul spells out exactly how this works, saying that God has committed his message of reconciliation to those already in Christ and made them ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through them. We repeat that phrase. As though God was making his appeal through them. So those in Christ are reconciled to God through the cross, and then they become heralds to the rest of creation, inviting creation to be in Christ and reconciled too. Verses 15 to 20 of Colossians chapter 1. It looks like it might have been an early Christian hymn. It's a great hymn. Somebody ought to set it to music as a challenge for you, musical amongst you. It declares Jesus as supreme in creation, supreme in the church, and supreme in redemption. He is the firstborn, the source, the head, and the gathering of all believers. Or as Tom Wright puts it, the more the Colossians get to know and know about Jesus Christ, the more they will understand who the true God is and what he's done, who they are as a result, and what it means to live in and for him. So it is in knowing Jesus and knowing about Jesus that we understand who we are, who God is, and what we should do. Jesus is the one through whom the whole universe was created, and the one through whom the brokenness and evil of death is decisively dealt with at the cross, the one in whom new creation began on Resurrection Day. The Colossians lived in an empire ruled by the 1%. That 1% considered the Colossian serfs to be insignificant. Paul revealed that in God's plan, they are vital for his redeeming purposes. Because they're called to fulfill God's purpose right where they are. Not by leaving where they are and their situation, not by becoming people that are powerful and influential in the Roman society, but by living out that new found, new creation life in the midst of their situation. They were to see themselves and their continuing lives right where they are as part of God's cosmic plan for transformation. The living proof of new creation and God's chosen means of spreading that invitation of reconciliation through Christ. Well, we talked about in Christ at Colossae, but what about in Christ at Burwell? I love this picture. It shows the beautiful mountains and hills of the local area and the snow-capped peaks in the distance. This is our situation. This is where God has placed us. The Christian faith is not a particular way of being religious. Hallelujah. It's not a particular system of morals, but it's about Jesus, the firstborn over all creation, the head of the church, the reconciler of the universe. That's the big picture. So God's plan is revealed to ordinary people, like you and me. God's reconciling work is experienced by ordinary people, like you and me. And God calls ordinary people to become part of his plan, to reconcile the whole of creation to himself. So we see the big picture in Christ. We see the small picture in our individual lives as we've experienced God's saving plan right at the depth of who we are. The way I like to symbolize this is in a fern. I love ferns. This is a little insight into your minister. I love ferns. I don't know what it is about them. I started loving them as a young boy, but just the beauty of their symmetry And there's something just soft and inviting about ferns. So anyway, I'll talk to you about ferns another time. But right now, there is a reason why I'm talking about ferns. So if you want to think about the big picture of God's plan, think about this frond of a fern. Okay, so imagine that as the big picture, what God's doing and the whole of creation. And Paul's laid that out, that his plan is to reconcile all things to himself in Christ through the cross, so that Jesus is Lord over creation and God is back in that rightful place and all of creation is back in right relationship with himself. Then if you look at one little bit of that fern, so that's a little frond on a frond. It's good to have fronds. There we go. I know we're going to sing "What a Frond We Have in Jesus" later. Here we go. So there you see, if you look carefully, if you were to magnify that, it would look very similar to this. Yeah. So that picture of God's big plan for the whole of creation is shown in the local church, in the gathering of community under Christ and in his Spirit. In Christ, they are united and become a reflection of God's plan for the whole of creation. And if you look more closely again at that little frondlet on a frond, that's the same again. If you magnified it up, it would look like this. And if you magnified it again, it would look like this. You might see that as the individual believer and what God is doing in their lives. And if you did it again, this little tiny bit there, teeny weeny bit, that's a little tiny bit of your life that Jesus Christ is working in and working through you. And if you magnified it up, it would look like that. If you magnified it up, it would look like that. And if you magnified it up, it would look like that. So do you see how the big picture of what God's doing in Christ, reconciling all things in heaven and earth to himself, is reflected in what you personally have experienced. And that's reflected in individual relationships that you're having with different people, as you are reconciled to them in Christ, and they are reconciled to God. Well, I love the ferns. I hope it was a helpful illustration. So, how do we apply that to ourselves? Well, God calls us to live out this knowledge of who we are in Christ. Yes, by sharing what the gospel is, but also by living that out in different ways. And in the coming weeks in our small groups, we'll be thinking about how we might bring God's reconciling power into our lives and through our lives into the community around us, in those places where we interact with people week on week. One of the ways is modelling godly character by making, this is also that they start with M, you see. You might say doing good work, but now we're going to say making because it starts with an M. Okay, so making good work, ministering grace and love, moulding culture, being a mouthpiece for truth and justice, and being a messenger of the gospel. So probably when you think about reconciling all things to Christ and your role in that, you think of that one, being a messenger of the gospel. But there's a whole lot of other ways in which we are living out God's reconciling work in addition to being a messenger of the gospel. Being a messenger of the gospel is important. And you might say that all the others are ways of doing that. But it is just one way of speaking of the gospel. Last week, it was 2 weeks ago, I laid out a vision for 2017, what I felt the Lord was saying about where we should be going as a church, what we should be doing in the coming year, and what God had been saying through prophetic words in our prayers. And I invited you to share some of your hopes and dreams for the coming year. This week, I want to challenge you to see again where God has placed you and how his big picture focuses into the small, the tiny, the apparently insignificant of where you are, of the people that you're interacting with, at the pharmacy, at the door when somebody comes to sell you something, or on the phone when somebody tells you that your computer's gone wrong and they can fix it. It's a scam. Don't believe them. How do we respond? How do we use those places that God has put us to live out these different ways of bringing that kingdom in? How is your time being spent as part of God's big plan? Because you can model godly character, you can do or make good work, you can minister grace, you can love those around you, you can mold culture and be a mouthpiece of trust, justice and truth, you can be a messenger of the gospel of peace. God can do that through you right where you are, and he can only do it in that tiny bit of the universe through you. And that's why he's placed you where he has. So how do we respond to that? Paul sees himself as a servant of that reconciling message. And he reminded the Colossians that they were also servants of this message, right where they were. Are you in Christ? This is a real question. You don't have to put your hands up, but you need to ask yourselves, am I in Christ? Have I been born again? Have I been immersed into God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Have you been reconciled to God through the cross? Okay. I'm hoping that there's quite a lot in your mind. You're saying, yes, yes. Get on with it, Chris. Yes. Are you giving the Spirit permission to work in and through you? Okay then. If you insist. Well, as soon as we do that, we cease to be part of the problem and start to become part of God's solution. There's a lot of the world that we'd look at and say it's not the way we'd want it to be. But in Christ, God is reconciling all things to himself in you. So this is my question I want to leave you with to think about as we go on into worship. How would the world around you, in your little bit of the world, be different if Jesus was acknowledged as Lord? How would the bit of the world around you be different if Jesus was fully acknowledged as Lord? We're called to live, work, and pray as agents of the coming kingdom, to pray in just what we've thought of, the way that the world would be with Jesus as Lord. If you need some support and help in that, you might consider joining a small group. We're starting on the 9th of February. Ordinary men and women like you who are going to mess it up and get it wrong and forget what we're supposed to be doing week on week, but we get together to remind each other and to encourage each other. We'll be meeting here on a Thursday night and on a Thursday afternoon at Barry's. Some little videos to give a message and then some Bible study to root it in Scripture. So maybe you need that help to find the way. I'm going to continue in worship, and during this time I'm going to encourage you, if you've got the gift of wisdom or knowledge, it may be that you have a word for somebody else's work situation. And during that time, just come and share that with James and we'll share that back to you. Might be somebody that's not at work but at home. How might they might reach out? We all need God's Spirit to direct us, don't we? For some, it is right to be moved on into a new situation. But for many, we need to know it's where we are that God can work through us. Okay. Thank you.